Good morning. I love how God pulls things together because, you know, we didn't have a meeting on what songs we're going to sing and what matches the sermon and what the responses are going to be and the testimonies and things, but it all comes together to give us a message. And because God wants us to love Him more and to understand Him more and be closer with Him. And how can we? We're human. We're here. We see each other. We don't see Him. I mean, what's going on? You're going to hear a thousand things. I mean, many think that God's a myth. It's just a fragment of your imagination. You're following some religious ideation. And God wants to break through all of that. We're born with a broken thinker. It's going to come up with pagan ideas. It's going to come up with there's no God. It's going to come up with there's many gods. God has spoken. And He's not angry with us when we don't understand Him. Because He knows we were born broken because of what Adam did. But He's made the restoration for us with what Jesus did. It really is simple, and it's extremely good news. And the high wall of some of the directions in our life that God has is not to restrict us and take away fun and stop our pleasure. It's to help us to not fall off into this raging river of death as we cross the bridge of life. And the more we can understand that, the closer we can get to the Lord, the more of our ideas we can just put away, sacrifice, give up, and put a determination to lay our lives before the Lord, which has been brought up previously during our time today. So we all know what physical suffering is. Mark went through that with his testimony and the miracle. I mean, just a few hours ago, I'm in the emergency room looking at Mark on a stretcher hooked up to all the boop, boop, boop stuff and not knowing what's going on. And then just miraculously, just before they're going to do a cardio conversion on his heart, boom, it starts going on its own. It's like, whoa. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm still going, jumping up and down, going, thank you, God, miracle, miracle. And yet there's others that are still in suffering. Ted, his knees aren't back yet, but we're going to ask the Lord to work on that. I mean, there's physical suffering. We can understand that so much because we can kind of see it. There's sacrifice. There's suffering. And we say, praise God when you're suffering and all that. That's really hard to do. We understand that. But what God's trying to let us understand, it's a life, not necessarily of suffering. God's not punishing us. It's part of being on a broken earth, in a broken body, with broken everything, and God did not break it, and yet mankind keeps shaking their fists at God. He didn't break it. He gave free will because He had to. In order to be perfectly just and have judgment, He can't force you. You have to have a free will. He had to give it to you, even though He knew you might disobey. But He has a wonderful plan, even though a great deal of it is tremendous mystery. And just because it's mystery doesn't mean it isn't truth. And we've said this many times. A whole bunch of people believe with all their heart that the world was flat. But that didn't make it true. So you believe that with all your heart, but I would suggest you find the truth and believe that. Now, I have a couple of slides here. Those that are listening and can't see that, but we'll just go along. It's most of the things. How about praising God no matter what? Now, we all sit there when you're in good health and there's nothing going wrong and you got a job and your bills are paid and the money's coming in and everything's going, everyone loves you and you're all this abundance around you. Hey, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, here we go. But you just let one stinking thing go wrong. All of a sudden, God, you're terrible. How come you didn't answer my prayer? Where are you, God? Well, it must not be a God. God says, praise Him no matter what. Now, He's not stupid when He says that, because your praise calls in His power. Your praise calls in His authority. Your praise calls in His wisdom. Your complaints are nothing but a call to evil spirits. Nothing but a call to the world, the flesh, and the devil. You're going to have stupid ideas, vain imaginations, weaknesses, doubts, fears. Everything is dark and foreboding. So God's not stupid when He says, praise Me no matter what. Because that's going to bring My presence, which is going to be what you need, not your broken ideas surrounded by people with more broken ideas. Now, how did that do that? I just clicked it. Ouch, that hurt. What happened was I did the PowerPoint on mine a while ago, and then we transferred it to our new laptop, and then by the time it gets over here, now the words are spreading all over. I have no idea. Ouch, that hurts. Okay. Carolyn said that there was a drum roll in between slides, so she removed it. I said, thank you. I have no idea how it got there. But, let me go back to that. In Colossians 3:10, I want you to see that. It says, now, we have to understand this. I've got to give you a little preface here before I get into the sacrifice part and praising God no matter what. Is you cannot do that with your broken Adam self. This only is going to apply. You can only do this if you have gone to the Lord and said, you know, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you. I give you permission. I open the door of my heart. Come into me. Save me. Cleanse me. I'm sorry. Help me on the rest of this journey. And when you do that, His Spirit comes in. Now you've got a chance. The dead Adam nature brings you nothing. It's stained. If that's all you have, that's why you have to go to hell. Not as a punishment, so to speak, because nothing unclean can be in God's presence, so the only other place is that where it's unclean. So this applies to those who have done this and have put on, it says in Colossians 3:10, have put on the new self. I like this. Who is being renewed? You see, in English, remember from the grammar classes, Jared, who is being renewed? I forget the name of it, when it present, whatever. But anyways, it means it's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. Not you have been renewed, mm-hmm. not you will be renewed sometime in the mm-hmm. future. This is an on. If you put on the new self, that's why we have to understand. That's why we still sometimes fall. That's why we still sometimes sin. It says, who is being renewed mm-hmm. to the true knowledge, truth. To a true knowledge according to the image. He's bringing you back to who He is, to the image of the one who created Him. A pre-faith is being renewed. Mm-hmm. That means it's a continual mm-hmm. process. Don't ever forget that. Now it talks about grace. Now grace is, people talk about unfair. Well, grace is unfair because you get good stuff when you should have got slammed. Mm-hmm. We do that one to another, and God says, that's not what I've done to you. My grace and my mercy is on you because I know you're born handicapped. But let Jesus be your grace so you can walk this walk. So it's a being renewed, but He's not giving an excuse for sin. There should be a remorse. God, I did it again. I said that again. I felt it again. I did it again. I'm sorry. Help me to not do that, to not think that, to not be that. That's a person who is living in life, not death. Because God's forgiveness is yours. Now, as I said, you can't do this without Jesus' nature in you. Now, sacrifice. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Of all the disciplines in life, sacrifice most closely wraps around who Jesus is. He lived that life of sacrifice. He constantly said, I don't do what I want to do. He said, I do what I see my Father do. I am led by God. No matter what the responses and reactions are of the people around me, I don't react and respond to them. I have God's Spirit coming through me. Now, mankind did not have God's Spirit indwelling them until after Jesus did what He did. That's why it was the law. That's why when you do this, you got that bad happen, the ground opened up, fire came upon the people. It's like, well, that's one tough God. It was all physical because the spiritual hadn't come, the new covenant hadn't been made yet. So when you read the Old Testament, don't go, oh, kind of a God is this? A good God who was trying to teach the people and train the people and help the people. It's so wonderful who God is. And then Jesus came. At a perfect time. I thought, God, how come He didn't come a little sooner? But, I mean, like, time is nothing to God. He's timeless. We're time bound. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, 4,000 years is like, yeah, what's your hurry? Mm-hmm. It's like a blink to God. That wasn't long. He's telling me, that wasn't long. 8,000 years, that wasn't long. 10,000 years, that wasn't long. A blink. Mm-hmm. But to us, 24 hours a day is long. Ask anyone who's married. It'll go well, though. I'm not scaring you. It's going to be good. Talk to the ones who marry a long time. It's good. It's good. But sacrifice. We don't even like the word. It means that every one of us has to have a discipline of sacrifice. If you want to line up with God and be in His image, there has to be a sacrificial heart, a sacrificial attitude. Now, when you say sacrifice, Ted sometimes thinks of sacrifice as, I'm going to give up broccoli. You don't like broccoli, so it's pretty easy. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. Sacrifice hurts. We got to get that straight off. This is going to hurt. And mainly because you can't be your own God when you let God be your God. You can't do what you want to do. And you look, when you raise up little kids, they want to do what they want to do. They don't understand there's a bigger picture. They don't understand a bigger world. Well, why do I have to put my shoes away? Why do I have to do laundry? Why do I have to wash the dishes? Why do I have to go to bed at a certain time? They don't see and understand the value. You, as the adult who's been on the road a little longer than them, hopefully has picked up some wisdom, and those that are led by the Lord, the supreme wisdom. But sacrifice, giving up doing what you want to do, thinking how you want to think, feeling how you want to feel, that's sacrifice, giving that up, and it's going to hurt. It makes everything in our brain scream up. Sacrifice means I'm not the center. Everything doesn't revolve around me. My comfort, my health, my ideas, my attitude, my beliefs, my. We have to understand the magnitude of what God is asking us to do. Because, see, we are intelligent people. God did give you a brain. I mean, there's things, a dog did not invent the motor. I mean, the animals and the plants, they serve in terms of praising God, in terms of how He has made them, but it is to mankind. And He's not politically correct. Mankind is okay, because human doesn't mean just the male. It is all the male and the female of the species. Mm-hmm. How wonderful our God is. But we're born. And you look at any kid that's born, they're crying and whining, I'm hungry, somebody tend to me. I'm tired, somebody tend to me. I want, I need. Look at 2 little 1-year-olds. Give me that toy. I want that. You have that. I want that. You take your little granddaughter, stick her into the store. Oh, you know, it's they're only this high. You know, so, she's a little high. Only that high. But all this colorful stuff on the shelves. I mean, there's dolls and toys and trucks and games and... She's just like, oh my gosh, oh I really need this and I want that and I need this and I want that and I need this. We smile at that. We don't respond to what she wants. We know what is appropriate. And God is like the same thing for us. We're going, oh, we're on the earth. We're going, I need, I want, I need, I want. And God is just smiling. That's why you're not going to get everything you ask for. He's the adult in the room. He knows exactly what's going to be better for you now and later. So when we talk about this sacrifice thing, first of all, we need to get this straight, that we're not the center, but God is. Now, do you lean to selfish rather than sacrifice? I'm not asking anyone to answer these questions out loud. Do not have any hand raised or anything. I can. I'll do that. I'll humble myself and say, yeah, sometimes I'm like that. My comfort? My desires, my dreams, my plans, rather than your life being about God. I'm not coming against this. This is very easy to fall into this. Because when we're uncomfortable, we want to be comfortable. I don't know what's going on with my hip and my backside, and I have no idea. I just have pain all the time. So what I started doing is I started praying for Ted. Because he has pain in his knees all the time. He's got bone against bone. And they had the doctors have said, we can't fix it, deal with it. So I just keep praying for him. I said, well, we're both going to be resolved. Thank you, Lord, because I've gone to a good God and I've asked Him for some good things. So we have to understand, there's different kinds. Like I talked about, the physical pain, we understand. Because that's definable. We can kind of see that. But there's personal sacrifice that we have to go through. Wow. Personal sacrifice, hoarding wealth. Sometimes you trust things. You trust the stability of your job. You trust the world. You trust this. Now, I'm not saying you can't make investments. I'm not saying to save some. I'm not saying that. There's wisdom in all the things we do in a foolish world. But you got to give it up. You got to not be in control of it. I had a little bit of money in a little IRA, and back in like 2007 or 2008, oh my gosh, it was in the stock market. And all of a sudden the stock market goes, all this money went down to like zip, and I'm going, whoa, what in the world happened? What do I do? You know, you can panic. I go, whoa, wait a minute. The same God that built it up, if it goes down, he's just going to, he can take care of me another way. I'm living proof that God takes care of fools, that God takes care of people. I have everything I need and more. It is so marvelous. And yet I'm not pursuing the things. I'm pursuing the King. Oh, I like that. Write that down. I'm pursuing the things. I'm pursuing the King. So who do you trust? That can be a person. You can put all your trust into a political system. You can put all your trust into a boss. You can put all your trust into a deep friend, a mentor, a pastor, a preacher, a program. Give it up. See, this is personal sacrifice. Is there any material thing in your possession that you couldn't ever just give up or put away? Now, don't be stupid. When I first came to know the Lord, I had never read the Bible before. Some of you have heard this story before. And I just kind of started reading it, and I came to the part that said, you know, give away everything to the poor. And I go, oh, okay, whatever. So I'm reading it literally, you know. God didn't tell me to do that, but I just, oh. So I called my family, and I go, hey, I had a ton of stuff in the military. I traveled all over, stuff from Spain, stuff from Germany, stuff from England, stuff from all over the place, really good stuff. I even had something from Turkey, you know, just like, whoa. I had paintings from Japan, original oil paintings. And I called my family and said, hey, listen, you know, anything, I'm just feeling like, you know, to share anything you want. One of my sisters sent down two of my brothers with a U-Haul truck from Massachusetts to New Jersey. And they came over there to Willingboro. And they said, oh, yeah, I'd like this. And they took this, and they took all my wind stuff, and this great little table, and all this car stuff, and I had, I don't know how many sets of china I had from Japan, and, you know, I had all this stuff, and just... silverware, and they're just going, yeah, thank you, Jesus. The truck drives away. I go back into the house. I go, oh, well, whatever. A couple of weeks went by. I go, God, I ain't got nothing. Where's my stuff? And he said, I never told you to give it away. I never told you. You read that. You assumed something. So you see, but what lessons? I've had all of that restored 10 times over and then given more of that away, too. It's so amazing, but you've got to have an ability to, can you give it up? Even if you make errors, even if you give up too much, even if you give away too much, It's done in the love of God. If you're doing it to call attention to yourself, if you're doing it to rack up favor with someone else, you're going to be without. But if you're doing it because you love God, even if you're like a little kid and misunderstood, which is exactly what I did, God said, isn't that cute? He's probably like, oh, Peter, look at this. Look at the fool down here. No, he never called me a fool. Look at her. All the stuff's going away in a truck. Pretty soon she's going to realize she doesn't have anything. I did save a set of you know, one play setting and so I could have something to eat on. What in the world? I didn't take my bed. I mean, I had my bed, you know, and this kind of stuff. It was like, but you have to be willing. And I know God was honored, even if I was stupid. He was honored because I was really trying with all my heart to please him. Now there's relational sacrifice. Uh-oh, don't touch this one. Yes, we have to. This is part of the giving up of you. Relationships that cause your relationship with God to decline, you gotta give it up. And some of our young people and even some of our middles and our olders don't like this. There's certain people that are not good to be around. I'm not saying you hate them. I'm not saying that you come against them. But if their influence is overpowering God's influence in your life, you need to either voluntarily separate. It doesn't mean you don't say hello to them, but you don't hang with them and you're always with them and going with them. You're going to end up going to places you shouldn't, watching movies you shouldn't, being in places you shouldn't, having jokes you shouldn't, language, attitudes, ideas, stupidity. Now, you can't leave the world. And you can't be like something, I'll tell you, it's just, Christians give such a bad name to Christianity. You know, they're like, oh, don't say that bad word. What? Jesus did not do that. You need to live in the midst of all that is wrong before God, and you be the light before God. Hopefully that someone else will understand. But you can choose where you spend your time and what you do. But not like this, junk. I did 5 years with the Army National Guard as a chaplain. What a wonderful ministry and a wonderful eye-opener. And I'd be standing there, you know, be about, you know, 15 or 20 of them standing there just talking, and I'd just come up to the group, just kind of stand there and listen. And I'd go, F this and MF that, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, one of them would go, oh, chaplain, I'm so sorry I didn't see you here. And you didn't offend me. It's him you offend. It's him you have to work it out with. I said, I'm just the sales rep. Now, God kind of gave me that little comment to them. They understood what I was talking. I'm just telling you about God. I'm not God. I have the same struggles. I have the same difficulties. I have the same broken thoughts, feelings, and desires that you do. And the only difference between me and you right now is I'm standing, you're sitting. That is the only difference. I get no special treatment. I don't come holy. I don't come with all the things that are wrong, gone. I struggle with them. I have to put them away. I have to fight temptation just like anybody else. It's the same for all of us, and it involves sacrifice. So this relational stuff, marriage partners that walk away from you, that happens sometimes. Give it up. Don't hang on to the anger and the bitterness and the whatever. God will bring you through that. Clinging to adult children. We're seeing more and more of this. People are living their lives through their children. Give it up. I remember one time that Pastor Frank Fornos that was here years and years ago, he's passed on, he's gone to be with the Lord. I remember when his first granddaughter was born. She's married now, has a kid, who's now, what, 15? Okay. I mean, time is going by too fast here. But I remember when that girl was born, Erica. And he loved her so much. Oh my gosh. He loved her so much. But I remember him saying, God, forgive me. I don't want this to interfere. I don't want to love her so much that you end up taking her away from me. I'm sorry. Now, you have to do that with your kids. I don't have kids, but I have nieces and nephews that I love to pieces. I love little Addie to pieces, but I have to always be in check. It cannot interfere with hearing from God. This is a relational sacrifice. I'm not saying to throw things by the wayside. That's not what God is saying. He's saying, be careful. Always be aware. Always be in that presence of God that nothing interferes. So it might be relational sacrifice. Financial sacrifice. Everyone, this is repeated generosity. That's all God is saying. I'm not talking about just throwing more money in the plate here. When people are in need, I mean, there's people, and I tell you, our people, I'm looking out at people that are probably the most generous in all of the city, so I'll preach to the choir here for sure. You've helped other people pay their electric bills. You've helped them buy clothes. You've helped them with their kids. We have food that's delivered here that we give out. And I mean, just it's on and on. I just passed the envelope around for that Friends of the Unborn ministry up in the Boston area that takes care of the homeless pregnant women. I mean, how great an opportunity. You are honoring God. You're slipping money in that envelope that's going to them. You help the ministry here. There's so many things. There's a veteran ministry. There's the Civil Air Patrol, the Air Force Auxiliary Ministry. There's the high school ministry. There's a whole bunch of ministries going on here. This church is very small, but its work is very big. And that's what's supported. But it's not just a church or a building or paying for air conditioning. It's what are you doing in your personal life? Do you have a cultivated generosity? Now, not foolishness. Not like you don't put your own family in poverty just so you help out someone else so you get consumed and then they live. No. God's wisdom is going to be able to work both sides of this. He's infinite in his generosity and creativity. We so box God in. And I know that when you gave that story earlier about finding a dollar bill along I-75, here you are as a struggling young family wondering what's going on financially. God, how are you going to do this? And they happen to pull over. Somebody probably had the kids right had a diaper change or something. They pulled over, opened the door, and there's a dollar bill flopping in the wind. See, that's how God speaks to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My kitchen was falling apart in my home. I had no way to fix it. I'm thinking, how can I do this? The press board is swollen with, you know, 40 years of moisture and getting in. It's falling every time you open the drawer. More of the little stuff falls in on the... I said, God, I don't know what to do. I said, but you're my husband. And it's my honey-do list. And he didn't do it just like a honey. He didn't do it the first time I gave it to him. It took a while. It took him about 10 years to get everything all done. But here, I said, God, I don't know how to do this. I just give that to you. And in the mail, I got a check. a humongous check, enough to redo my kitchen. From someone who had received a large amount of money and wanted to tithe on it and said, God, who do I give this to? And he goes, give it away now. I'm still over. I mean, talk about going down on your face and going, oh God, God has done this so many times to me. Now, I'm not saying you don't play the lottery with God. I'm not saying I'm going to do a few good works, God's going to give me a big bunch of money. No, there's been so many years of famine, so to speak, but many years of blessing. God is a balanced God. He's creative. So when you run out of money, now if you run out of money because you keep spending it on cruises to the Caribbean, and you keep buying all the latest electronics, and you got 16 TVs, I mean, hey, you ran out of money. It wasn't that God didn't provide you enough. So I'm always saying you got to balance this stuff with wisdom. You got a credit card up to $75,000. I mean, you know, you can really dig a hole for yourself. But repent, lay down the shovel, say, God, I am so sorry. Now, if it took you 15 years to get in the hole, do not be surprised if he allows 15 years to get out of it. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's extremely creative. So you got to give it up. All this financial stuff, you got to have financial sacrifice. And you will be challenged, I'm telling you right now, and I want to just have a few minutes here. That adversary, he hates it when we put God above all. Oh, he hates it. He sees what you're doing. He even senses it because he sees your act. He doesn't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. But he knows your habits. And he's seen what you've done over the years. He knows what you'll fall for. He knows your weaknesses because he's seen it from the time of your birth and he takes advantage of it. So expect him to call in the troops and go, okay, I need 16 more workers here. Possibly starting to get a little closer to the Lord again. So-and-so is starting to do this and that. He wants to stop you from practicing discipline. The discipline of sacrifice. He wants you to lay back and start being the center, your needs, your comforts, your thinking. He doesn't want you to give up what God is saying. Just give it to me, honey. What you have is broken. I'm not going to just take everything away from you. I'm going to give you something better. So give me your broken, dirty, gunky stuff. I'm going to give you better. That's all that God is saying, and it's hard with a broken head to understand that. So don't listen to the adversary. Your friends and your acquaintances, they're going to think you're nuts when you go full force before the Lord. I'm not talking about religious now. Don't follow God. Don't be religious. I'm jamming the Bible down people's throats. You read it. You live it. You obey God. You do it. Your life is going to change. I was in the military. I wasn't living a right life. I'm not going to get into the details of what my former students is here, but I was 30 before I came to know the Lord. And when he came in my heart, my whole life changed. It wasn't that I had rules I was going by. I can't explain it. I just did not feel, I did not want to do any more what I was doing. I had so many of my very dear close friends go, what's wrong with you? And I go, you mean what's right with me? I don't know. I just don't want to do this stuff anymore. This is a change that God makes, but your acquaintances are going to think you're nuts. Now, don't give them good reason to think you're nuts by being some goofy religious nut. You just be right before God no matter what they say. And you don't have, there's so many times you don't have to change. Now, if you're a stripper working at the Mons Venus, you know, you might want to change your profession. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a tattoo artist, go to it. If you're working at Walmart, go to it. If you're a neurosurgeon, stick with it. I mean, God's not saying, unless he tells you to change your profession, keep going. This is wonderful what God is doing, but your acquaintances, your friends, if you are staying in the same place and you start changing, if you were lying on certain forms and now you're not, they're going to see the change. If you were drinking into oblivion and now you're not, they're going to see the change. If you're smoking dope and now you're not, they're going to see the change. If you're running around on town all the time, they're going to see the change. And it's not because you're telling them not to do anything, it's just that you stop doing it because you know that God has this thing inside of you. I'm not pressed to do that anymore. So don't listen to your acquaintances. And your own mind will make you think you're nuts. If in this walk in Jesus Christ, you have not sat there at some point and go, am I crazy? Is this just a story? Your mind does not understand God because it's broken. Only the mind of Christ is going to understand that, which is why he says, put on the mind of Christ. Duh! Take every thought captive. That is what's going to make the change. So don't listen to even your own mind. And your flesh, oh my gosh, your flesh is going to say, oh, yeah, giving away a little is good, then giving away everything must be better. You know, that was a stupid thing that I did. Don't do that. Don't try and figure out what God is saying. Let Him explain what He's saying. What the heck? Is that the thing you're talking about? Alright, I didn't do that. I promise you I did not put that in the changing of this life. Now, great examples of sacrifice and adversity. I asked one of our gals, Habakkuk 3:17-19. Would you read that out loud, please?
For though the fig tree shall not flourish, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Jehovah, the Lord, is my strength, and He maketh my feet like hind feet, and will make me to walk upon my high places.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Did we just hear that? Though the fig tree doesn't blossom. He's given some examples now of some things that can go wrong. And as I was just going through this, the Lord was showing me something. Fig trees are up in a tree and they're hard to reach. Well, those figs are up there in the tree. Though you not attain the sweet fruit of high aspirations, still give Him the sacrifice of praise. Even though you don't get the high things you're going for, that's what He's trying to tell us. It's not just figs He's talking about. You see, your own mind's got figs. What's that got to do with anything? God will show you something deeper. And then He goes on, He says, and there be no fruit on the vine. Even if there's no figs, even if there's no fruit on the vine, because the vines are a little lower to the ground usually and easier to reach. Even if you don't have fruitful results with common, easy things that are within your grasp, even if the lower things that you're dreaming of don't occur, still give Him the what? The sacrifice of praise. Because you're not going to want to praise Him. I didn't get even the smallest little thing. Gee, it rained when I had the one time I want to have a picnic with my friends and I asked you that it wouldn't rain. It hasn't rained for 5 days and now it rains on the day of the picnic. Or you're trying to get this big fat job that you did all your education for and it's really going to be the greatest thing, six figures, going to set you up for the rest of your life. You didn't get that. It's a sacrifice of praise. God, I don't feel like this at all, but I'm going to obey You because I believe that You are wiser. And not because I believe it, You are wiser. You have said to praise You in all things. I'm going to practice that. I'm going to give up my little whiny, complaining, snapping my feet self, and I'm going to praise You right now. Though the yield of the olive tree should fail. The olives, they give oil, and they used to use that to make their lamps run. They didn't have electricity. They use it to put light in there, and they also use it to keep their skin smooth. So even if you can't see your way, and even if things are rough and not smooth, even if that happens, still give Him the sacrifice of praise. And then it goes on, the scripture says, and the fields, even if they produce no food, once the fields are ruined, I mean, that's it, because there's certain, like potassium and stuff in the soil, once the soil's ruined, you can plant all you want, nothing's going to be growing. So once the fields are ruined, so are the crops. So even if you have no food. Now obviously, some of our congregation, we've had plenty of food. I'm trying to cut back on some of the food. We have plenty of abundance. Our entire United States has plenty of abundance. We don't have people walking around, you know, looking like that they're starving. But even if you have no food, give Him the sacrifice of praise. And though the flock is cut off from the fold, wow, a flock, you've seen the sheep, you know what they are. They really do a lot better together. There's stability, there's protection, there's the group that can kind of help out, there's a good fellowship that's there. And also, these sheep, they provide wool. So there's a warmth, there's another function in terms of that. So even if you're cut off from friends and families and mentors and don't even have additional clothes, I mean, He's talking about the extremes that can happen in your life. You ask the people in Katrina. In one day, they lost everything. It was totally flooded, some of them. They had no clothes, they had no food, they had no water, every single thing we just talked about. They had none of it. God says, even in the midst of that, give Him praise, and it's going to hurt, and it's a sacrifice. this isn't an easy walk with the Lord, that is foolish teaching that says, ah, just come out, I'm Jesus, everything will be fine. Well, everything is going to be fine, but it isn't fine how you think fine is, and it's not going to be comfortable how you think comfortable is. You wouldn't spoil your kids by giving them everything they want and never let them. And that's what's happening in a lot of our young people today. They have never suffered a no. They never had to give up. They never had to not have something. They never had to be told, no, you can't do what you want. They never had to suffer through anything, a lack or a loss, because every time they felt a little uncomfortable, mommy and daddy jump in and give them something. The coaches give everybody a trophy. Baloney! It's in our suffering that our character is made. Not because God has it that way, but because we're broken. You're going to stay broken unless you let God fix them. And there'd be no cattle in the stalls. The cattle in the stalls, well, kind of showed me that was like, it's cattle in the stalls within the corral life. That was like the reserve. They weren't out in the field and tough to get to, and you know, you had to haul them in and all this. They're right there. Though you lose your savings, your retirement, and has anyone been seeing the stock market? It's down, I don't even understand all of what that means, 1,000 points. I mean, this stuff is going back and forth. If you lose everything, including your reserve food, just go to Helen's house. She's got all the stuff. Go to France. She keeps a lot of good stuff in there, too. No. Even if all these hard things happen, do the sacrifice. Give him the sacrifice of praise. In all these things, look what Habakkuk cried out. He gave that whole big description. He said, all of those things make it modern today like Katrina. Everything wiped out. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds feet. You know, I read that for years and years. What's a hind feet? What's hind? What's a hind? I looked it up. It's a female red deer. And it makes me walk. And makes me walk on my high places, just like a female red deer. And I want to end with this. The red deer, here's a couple of pictures here. They can swiftly climb high and difficult places. There's rocks. There's slippery places. There's roots. They just vault. Some of you have seen that, like National Geographic videos and documentaries and things. They just fly up rocks and stuff that you would be stumbling over. That's why God uses some of these great word pictures to show us how it's going to be with him, not with your regular way. You're just going to be stumbly-bumbly. I know, I've been out there on the Appalachian Trail. That would be very difficult to get up there. You got to claw, you got to pull, you got to weight in your back. Not with the Lord. He makes a difference. You do this with me, you're going to be like that hind right here. They're alert on the other side. They're alert at all times. They're always watching. God wants us. So when he uses an example like the hind's feet, you're going to go like the hind's feet. He wants you to be able to move around quickly and get from one thing to another. He wants you to be able to be alert at all times. They can run fast from danger. Run from any temptation. Flee from the enemy. They know their safety in numbers, just like the fellowship. It doesn't mean you're going to do this with a group. It's only going to be you facing God. It's not going to be your mama and your daddy and your pastor and your preacher and your friend and all this stuff. No, this is you and God. But, just like with the deer, they have fellowship, they have protection, they get together for a good reason. And that's what God is telling us. No matter what, praise him, and you'll be like the red deer, like the hind's feet, taking you to higher places. And I wanted to finish with Psalm 150. This is absolutely awesome. 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Wow.
Praise the Lord.
That's what I'm talking about. As Lisa just read a whole bunch of stuff where she had looked up praise. I didn't know that. I didn't know she was going to have that this morning. God's putting it together. He's trying to give us a message. This is not the rotten, stinking life that many people are living. You will have hardship, but don't let it lead to bitterness. You will have loss and lack, But don't let it lead to the angers and all the things that are people's, your broken Adam nature response to bad things is only going to bring on more bad things. God says, break the cycle. Come before me no matter what and give the sacrifice that it takes to praise me and watch how your life changes. God bless you.